Hi, everybody. This is April, speaking to you from Space Year 2023. That's right. I'm cutting in here to let you know that it has now been 10 years, a full calendar decade since I started this podcast, Go Bayside. And as you've probably noticed the entire time, it was very DIY. I was never on a network. There's never been any ads in any of the episodes. And now that it's been 10 entire years that it's been out there in the ether on every possible podcast player for you to enjoy, I am taking the first 50 episodes and I am archiving them. So episodes 1 through 50 will now only be available on my Patreon, which is patreon.com/AprilRichardson. If you go there, there's several tiers that I think are very reasonable. The first being just to have access to all of the Go Bayside archive episodes. The rest being to catch up on the new stuff that I'm making should you be interested in hearing me talk about other things that aren't Saved by the Bell related. So there you go. It's been 10 years, you guys. 10 years listening to me talk nonsense about this television show. And now you can join me over at patreon.com/AprilRichardson. Or if it's easier for you to remember, you can go to baremins.com. That is BAREMINS.com. And you can find all of the old Go Bayside episodes there for you to enjoy. Play until your heart's content. Leave comments. See the photos on my old green couch. Join us there, please. And thank you so much for 10 years of supporting Go Bayside. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the so long awaited, the first of the Saved by the Bell movie series. This is Go Bayside, the Saved by the Bell podcast, where I have a friend over to watch an episode and then we critically deconstruct it. This has been over for almost a year, and now we have finally found the time to start doing the movies. And by we, I mean me and third time returning champ, Millie DeCherico.
Hi, everybody.
Yeah. All right. You guys, here's what's happened. We are now, as we speak, in a hotel room in Austin, Texas, where I've performed at a comedy festival, and I was like, Millie, come meet me. We're going to hang out. It'll be fun. I'm also going to pack my microphones and mixer, and we're going to sit here and do this movie.
Yep.
And that's what we did.
We had many trials and tribulations to get to this point.
Yes. So. You guys have no idea how much we had to go buy a DVD player at Target. Because I got a MacBook Air that doesn't have a CD DVD drive. We're going to have to go return it. We're going to scam Target just to get this done. But the movie, the feature-length film that we just watched, is called Saved by the Bell Hawaiian Style. And the release date of said movie was November 27th, 1992. And Millie, as a third-time returning champ, you know what to do. Give me a very brief synopsis of the plot of this movie so we can get into our feature-length notes.
Okay. So this movie, in which we just sat and watched in the wrong aspect ratio, yeah. I will have you know, because hotel televisions are terrible, and they're always in the wrong aspect ratio. But anyway, so the story is, brief synopsis, the gang go to Hawaii for a two-week-long vacation. Mm-hmm. They stay at Kelly's grandfather's resort.
Yep.
And when they get there, it's in kind of like ill repair, and he's about to be foreclosed on. He's about to be bought out by this like local developer. And basically, they make this giant attempt to save this hotel for uh-huh. Kelly's grandpa. And there's a lot of other details that are tucked in there, like this whole thing with Screech being like a Polynesian warrior god, and there's romances.
Of course.
But as it turns out, they basically trick this developer and his son into thinking that the land that the grandfather's hotel is on is like sacred.
Yeah.
And so there's a scammy thing happening in which everyone wins.
Yes. No, that was beautifully put. Okay. Because we got a lot of meat to get to because it, again, is a feature length film. Why? Why? It's like a 90-minute movie.
It was. And we felt every 90 of the those minutes, yes, I'll tell you right now.
Okay. So the movie opening shot is basically like a Hawaiian travel video come to Hawaii. And arguably the best part of the entire movie is in the very beginning because it opens with DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince's Summertime.
Yes.
The jam of all jams.
Probably a very popular song at the time of the release of this
movie. Popular song right now in my house. But yeah, so that's how it opens. Shots of Hawaii, whatever, whatever. Okay. They cut to the crew. They just landed. They're in the airport. Screech is immediately videotaping everybody. He's like videotaping everybody getting their luggage. Cool thing to watch later. Can't wait. Why is that happening? So then... And then Zach, they're in the airport. They're just at the airport baggage claim. And Zach is looking around and he goes, look at all these incredible women. At the baggage claim? No one attractive is at baggage claim ever.
Right. Enough to be like, whoa, preppy. Like, you're not going to believe it. Like, there's the hottest women we've ever seen in this one area. Women.
And then that's when they go, and they are all like, yeah, I wrote this down because they're like, I can't wait for these next 2 weeks we have in Hawaii. Now, they're 17.
Right.
Did you go on any vacations solo at 17? Did you? I didn't.
For 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks. Like, again, maybe this is real nitpicky. I get real nitpicky anyway in these, but like, yeah. 17 years old and your mom's like, have fun in Hawaii for 2 weeks?
Yeah.
I mean, are they all millionaires?
I know. I mean, ostensibly they're staying for free.
Sure.
But a flight to Hawaii is not cheap.
Right. I mean, I guess it's cheaper for them because they're flying from LA, but like even still, and I don't know, I feel like my mom, I don't know, whatever. I didn't grow up in like a rich house, so I don't
These
know.
These kids are privileged.
Yeah. So they're like, we're going to enjoy our 2 weeks in Hawaii. We're 17. Zach, again at baggage claim, turns and looks and he sees this brunette. I wrote here, my notes say Zach continuing to holler at brunettes.
Raven haired beauty.
Yes. Which, you know, I appreciate that so much because brunettes did not get a lot of love like that, especially from hot blonde jock dudes. So I'm into that.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Since you've seen literally every minute of this series.
Yeah.
Did he date any blondes? Tori was probably right?
Nope. Tori's a brunette. Kelly's a brunette.
Okay.
He dated a blonde in that time. He went on the fake date with Screech's cousin. Screech's hot cousin. And then there was like Ginger. Like there's been a couple here and there, but the girls that he's been like serious with and in love with are all brunettes. Mm. And I love that. That gives me hope in this hopeless world.
Who was the Ginger?
Who? Zach dated a Ginge?
Is that what you just told me?
No, Ginger was her name.
Oh, Ginger was her name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, who was the Ginger he dated? I thought you were using Ginger in the pejorative.
No. Okay. He dated a girl named Ginger who was blonde for a second. But that was even when he was like trying to not date Tori. So he wasn't even like fully invested in Ginger, I don't think.
So we know he's got a type.
He's got a type in his brunettes. Thank you. Any Zach Morse's out there who into brunettes, holler at your boy. All right. So he makes a beeline over to this brunette lady. Slater and Jesse are fighting. And then Lisa comes up and is like, I bet you $50 each that you fight by the end of the thing.
Right.
That's another thing where I'm like, what teenagers are carrying $50 around?
In their pockets.
Yeah.
And betting.
Yes. Like, I got 50 bucks at the ready at 17? No. I don't have 50 bucks in my pocket now.
And that's also a running gag in the movie, which I feel falls flat. There's too many, like, little running gags / storylines. It's like, don't add this dumb one.
Yeah, y'all are cramming too much into this.
Yeah.
Okay, so Zach's trying to run game on this brunette lady. He's walking her outside. He's got her bags. And when she gets outside, her Miami Vice-ass boyfriend, who, I mean, he's dressed in, like, a white Miami Vice suit, pulls up in a white limo and is like, girl, I've been waiting for you. Turns out his name's Derek. Her name's Andrea. Mm-hmm. He thinks that Zach is just like a bag guy at the airport. I don't know. Do they have those? Whatever. He's like,
it's another instance where like the rich people character in any television show or movie immediately thinks everyone is the help.
Yes.
So it's that whole like, oh yes, you're the, let me tip you. And
yes.
Motherfucker, I am a normal person. I'm not here to,
yes,
like, take...
Do they even have people like that at the airport? General servants at the airport?
That are wearing, like, shorts and, like, a Hawaiian shirt and, like, look like a teen, like...
Yes.
It's like somebody's son. And it's like, I'm going to tip this guy because clearly he's
everyone
a bag
but me
handler.
Is the help because I'm the rich guy. Exactly. I do love that. Like, the assumption the world has, like, butlers. Yeah, because it's like, there are no just like bag helpers at the airport.
I just don't go around assuming that everyone is helping me and I need to tip them.
Well, of course. But I'm just saying, like, even above that, like, there's not, the airport doesn't have like bellboys.
They have those like sky caps, but they're not.
They do?
Like, they have sky caps at the, like, you know, dudes that are there waiting for you to drop your bag off and you know what I mean? Like at the sky cap when you show up. I don't think they have
to
them.
Check it.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
There's not like ones at the end that are like, how are you doing? Can I help you with
yes,
your bags?
Exactly. That's
at least,
what I'm saying.
You know,
like there's no, yeah, exactly. So anyway, so Derek, her Miami Vice boyfriend, thinks that Zach is the help, tips him. And she's like, no. And then he's like, whatever. See you later, kid. And he goes, come on, Andrea. I've got sparkling water and hot snacks in the car.
And when he said
we
hot
laughed
snacks,
so hard at that.
We both went, hot snacks.
First of all, that sounds like hot snacks. Let's be real. Second of all, yes, because he's like, I got hot snacks in the car. What car-ready hot snacks are there?
To entice you to get into the car. Somebody's like, I got hot snacks in here. Like, come on. It's like, let's waste no time with this bag handler.
Yeah.
How
are the snacks kept hot? Does this car have like hot plates?
Yeah. And what is this? Like,
give me a hot snack. First thing.
Ooh,
that comes to mind. Give me a hot snack that comes to your mind. Cause I can't think of one unless he's got like pretzels,
toaster strudels.
I don't know what a hot snack. If somebody goes, hey, get in the car, I got hot snacks ready.
Warmed cookies? I don't know what this is.
I'll give you either warm cookies, pretzels and cheese sauce.
Why cheese sauce? Queso? You think he's got queso in there? In his limo? He's got like a crock pot happening
because
with queso?
I don't know. I think it's maybe the pretzel. It's like Wetzel's pretzels, like giant pretzels, and then those plastic cups, cheese sauce. That's all. That's my first thought. If you tell me hot snacks is a pretzel,
I was thinking like warmed nuts before my mind went to
really
giant mall pretzels with cheese sauce dipping cups.
But it's a limo.
Well, we don't know how he's warming these snacks. Let's get serious. We don't know that.
But I think a limo has more room for more warm hot snacks. So I feel like you could have pretzels and cheese sauce. Anyway, that is like maybe the weirdest line in the movie. I got sparkling water and hot snacks in the car. First of all, I can't even tell you the last time a boyfriend picked me up at the airport. So that's already a novelty. But the idea that like he picks me up and he's like, I got a buffet waiting for you in my wheels. Like, that's crazy. Like, marry this dude. Right. Okay, so they leave, and then the gang, like, Zach and the gang are sitting waiting for, I guess, their car, and then that's when they look, and guess who's in fucking Hawaii with them?
Oh, don't even tell me.
Fucking Mr. Belding.
Jesus Christ.
Mr. Belding is in the same airport waiting for, because he is holding up a sign that says, California Association of Principals. Okay, is that a thing? Would they go on vacation together? I argue that a bunch of principals don't want to hang out together when school's out. They're what? Like, we have families. We're going to go on vacation with them. So he's holding this. He's like the tour guide for the California Association of Principals Hawaii tour. And because he is standing in the same airport and everyone's arriving at the same time, I am convinced they were on the same flight.
That's exactly what I wrote down. Because mm-hmm. I'm sitting here thinking, okay, how many flights in from LA to Honolulu or whatever they are
right.
are happening?
Like per day.
Per day.
Yeah.
You probably got like, you know, 5 or 6 per day.
Yeah.
But the chances of you guys being from the same town
mm-hmm.
and being in baggage claim at the same time,
right? Like y'all were on the same flight. They How did you not see flight. It then? Also, of all, I've never been to Hawaii. I can't speak on this like authoritatively. I can't believe I haven't been now that I live in LA and have for so long. I should go, but like, there are multiple islands. What they went to the exact place, like the exact same place, exact same airport, and then they see him first thing, and they're like, our principal from our school is on vacation at the same place as us.
I would think that I would have had a gypsy's fucking curse yes! to see this guy everywhere I
everywhere. Go. Everywhere. And, but again, that goes back. I mean, I know we always talk about, because we went to high school together. If we went on, if I landed somewhere and I saw our principal Bozo, I would just be like, oh, weird. That's our principal. All right, see you later. Like, because we didn't hang out with him every second.
I gotta be completely honest with you. I have, like, a vague remembrance of our principal. Like, I don't even remember what he really looks like.
I don't remember his real name.
You telling me his name was Principal Bozo is sort of, like, conjuring up this sort of, like, I'm assuming you're saying
he
Bozo,
had Bozo hair.
He had bald, he was bald on top and yes. he had a ring of hair. Right?
Oh, curly. A very curly hair. I mean, and it stuck out a little bit, so he looked extra Bozo-ish.
Right. But I'm just, and this is the thing that I wrote down, too, because when, okay, so they meet, so Zach and the gang are like, oh, Jesus Christ, this motherfucker's
yes.
here, right?
Yes.
And then Belding is like, these kids are here, and then, like, walks over to
yes.
them and is like, listen, you better not, like, get up in my shit. And I'm like, what makes you think that these kids
are trying to hang with you?
Are trying to fucking fuck with you?
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes.
Belding.
Exactly.
Because I'm like, this relationship I've always thought was like super, like, I get that it's like an antagonistic, like, yeah, this guy's an asshole and we always have to contend with him, like
yeah.
the principal. But it's like they always are like together.
Yeah.
And they're always like hanging out, but not wanting to hang out.
Yes.
I'm just like,
that's what I'm saying.
I don't remember being this close.
Never, ever. But you're right. It's like, if they saw each other in the airport, they would just kind of give each other a knowing nod of like, stay out of my shit. Like they
I would like totally go in the other
yes.
direction. I'd be like, oh shit, I saw this dude. Like,
yeah.
I'm out.
They would not be like, oh my God, Mr. Belding. And like go over to him and be like, what's up, dude? Why are you in Hawaii? What's going on? Like they would just be like, okay, yeah, stay out of our shit.
Yeah, and like, and also the idea of a grown man going up to some kids and being like, better not see ya. Like,
yeah.
no one's trying to hang with you,
no
dude.
One
you
is
suck. Like,
yes, yes.
And their children.
We're 17-year-olds who get to go to Hawaii for 2 weeks. We're the richest people in the universe. We're not trying to hang out with your boring ass adult ass.
Yeah,
all right.
No need to come over here and tell us to
yeah.
not hang with you. Yeah.
So that's insane. The idea, I think, of a statewide principals association tour of Hawaii is amazing to me.
Yeah.
So all that is rad so far. Now, they get like some fancy van or whatever, come get them, the principals, and then the crew, Zach and crew, are waiting for their ride. And then all of a sudden this like 1940s jalopy pulls up. And that's when Kelly's like, that's the car for the hideaway. Now this begins the pattern in the movie of the most spot on music matching, like the music that's playing when this jalopy drives up is like, like it's like every piece of music in this movie is so cartoonish, is so spot on in the way that like the lyrics, because once they, okay. Because I have this written down, because once they get in this car and they're driving to the hotel, you know, they're showing scenes of Hawaii. Like, look how great Hawaii is. It's like
yeah,
hot
montage
girls.
Sequences,
yeah. Hot girls on the beach. Dude surfing. It's so beautiful. And during this, one of the first original songs starts playing.
Oof.
The one that's like, kick it back on the vacation in Hawaii. And it's so great. Look at the girls on the beach and the dudes are surfing. Yeah. Like, it's so spot on. for this first original song, all the original songs are so unbelievably terrible.
Oh my God, so ass.
This first one legit sounds like Vonda Shepard from Ally McBeal. I'm like, this is like Vonda Shepard rocking out. And I swear to God, all the lyrics, because throughout, they're so on the nose that it's like, the lyrics to this song might as well be like, riding in a car to Kelly's grandpa's hotel. Look at the beach. It's really great. Zach's like, in love with an older lady. Like,
there's like a band following every action that's happening, like describing it in the song. Like,
yes.
They pulled up and the cars are parking. They're walking into the building. Can I just tell you? Okay, so when we first like were setting up, you know, like we were gonna do this podcast, right? You brought the DVD of this movie,
of course,
which you own.
Of course, I own
you
it.
You own it, right?
Yes, have so, for years.
Out of curiosity, I was like, I'm gonna go on Amazon.com, and see if this DVD is available, right?
Right.
So I went on there, and the DVD is totally out of print. And it's like $70. So which you have like a seven, like you can stand to make a substantial amount of money with this stupid DVD, right? So of course, in my mind, cause you know, I work in the movie industry.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, why is this DVD out of print? Right. Cause I'm like thinking, okay, usually when things go out of print, it's usually a licensing thing. It's probably, and then, you know, a lot of times it's the music.
Right.
So I'm sitting here thinking, is the reason why this is out of print is because they couldn't license these like shitty songs? I'm like, who owns these songs? I mean, the DJ Jazzy Jeff song, maybe.
I think that's probably the sole reason. If Will Smith was like, y'all can't have that anymore.
But then I started thinking, oh, what if the fans decide to, like, they want a proper Criterion Collection release of this movie, right?
Yes.
And then they would have to license these dumb Vonda Shepard songs.
Right.
And there would be like paperwork being like, okay, here's, we need to sign the paperwork on the song that appears.
This
when
song,
like,
which is called
Driving Down the Street. Anyway.
Driving Down the Street.
That's how terrible these songs are. It's got me thinking big things.
Yeah, but is that, oh, by the way, the DVD has both the movies on it. So it's like two movies on one DVD.
Oh, okay.
So that could be why it's worth $70.
Extra rare, folks.
And
so,
I haven't rewatched the Kelly and Zach Get Married in Vegas movie in a while, so I don't know if there's like any modern hits in that, or if it's like, we're in Vegas and now we're getting married, walking down the street in Vegas, it's real great, look at the lights in Vegas.
I hope that those people weren't paid one dime for that song. I'm sorry, the craft is just not, it's not there.
And it's just, oh, I just, it's so on the nose, and it continues throughout the entire movie. And I mean, it does. Like, there's like three or four more scenes where it is just like, we're sitting on the beach. Isn't it awesome? About to go get in the ocean. Look at Kelly. She looks real hot in a bikini. Like, it's like that. That might as well be one of the songs. Oh my God. And the people sing, I mean, they're just the wackest songs I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. And can I say this before we like move on to the rest of the movie? So it's so weird, because this is the thing I noticed, because the right after this scene is when, isn't it Zach and Screech are in his room and they're like staying at the hotel or something?
No, like right after, they're just at Kelly's grandpa. Like, they meet Kelly's grandpa at his hotel, which, by the way, it's Dean Jones.
Oh, I know.
R.I.P.
Recently deceased.
Dean Jones. And he looks, first of all, I wrote, Kelly's grandpa looks young as hell.
Yes.
Like, as a he just looks like he could be Kelly's dad. He just looks young as hell for a grandpa.
And he mentions that he's like 60 years old, right?
Yeah. Or like at one point they go like, he's almost 60. Which I'm like, I guess that makes sense. I'm trying to think how old my parents were when I was 17. Because I shouldn't say how old my mom is on record because she'll punch me in the face. But like, I mean, I guess technically that checks out, but he just looks like way young for a grandpa, yeah. I guess.
My parents were probably in their 40s when I was 17.
I guess mine were too. Yeah. All right. So that checks out. But first, the scene is they get there and they're all like, what's up, Kelly's grandpa, you have a rad hotel, but where are all the guests? And that's when he's like, oh, I don't have any more guests. And so they're all sitting at the table talking about that, because they're like, how's that possible? And then he basically tells them what is going to be the plot of the movie, in that he's like, oh, this other corporation is trying to buy my land, trying to put me out of business. He's like, they paid people to not work for me, like all this crazy shit. And then I just wrote down this one Jesse quote where she says, that's typical of large money grubbing corporations of the 90s.
Yep.
Yep.
Always getting got that political angle
completely
going.
Which
and but it sounds like based on this conversation, it's like, who the fuck is this developer, like Suge Knight?
Yeah,
like what
exactly,
the hell?
Exactly, like trying to muscle him. Like, I get that corporations do shady shit, but when is it ever the actual CEO of a place, like the dude walking over to the other CEO being like, I'm gonna kick your ass, get out of here? Like they just have lawyers and shit to do that.
They walk up to them and they're like, so when are you gonna give me your property?
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
And like, no, like,
that's not happening.
I wish
ever.
I saw that in real life.
Yeah, exactly. So that's, he just briefly explains to them though, like, look, you guys are the only guests here. I'm going out of business. Whatever, whatever. But then that night, then they cut to that night, and it's like Zach staring longingly out the window because he's so in love with this brunette that he met for like 5 seconds.
Yeah, he's totally like turned out.
He is sprung.
And then this part, so I wrote down the fact, so this is when I first noticed that there's no laugh track.
No, me too. I wrote it down in all caps. No laugh track equals weird. There's no laugh track.
Super weird.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, because the shows always have laugh track, but like, for some reason, it's even weirder that this doesn't have laugh track.
Super
and then in
weird.
This part, this is, I wrote down, this makes, no laugh track is psychotic. It makes this seem like a porno with no sex.
Ah! It totally, yes, because it's like, that's when it's the most obvious in this scene where it's just Zach and Screech, because Zach like gets a few zingers in on Screech, and like Screech also says like a few of his dumb Screech things to silence. And
yes,
you're just like, oh,
no one's, there's no like teenage laughter behind
no,
these
and it
jokes.
Just, it's like two dudes who are out of their minds, like talking to each other or something. Like, it's the weirdest. Yeah, it's super weird, but I wrote down, so there's no laugh track, but still whack ass sound effects.
Yeah.
So there's no laugh track. So that's like weird silence. But then Screech says some bullshit about wanting to hang out with jellyfish or whatever. And then it's like, boop-a-doop-a-doo.
Yeah. It's like that kind of dumb.
So they have cartoon sound effects throughout the entire movie, but no laugh track.
And it's just like, it's silence. And then it's got this weird, like, the film stock that they're using is not like that. So it looks like a porno. I mean, I can't
tell. Oh, the way it's lit also. I mean, it's so softly porno lit.
It's badly acted like a porno.
Well, yes, of course. Of course, of course.
Softly lit.
Yeah.
And then also there's no laugh track and just people talking. And it's just like, wow, this could be a real porn if somebody just decided to get naked and have sex.
Completely. It totally does. It does look like a porn. It totally does. So that's like weird. You know, Screech is like, what's your deal? He's like, can't stop thinking about Andrea. Oh my god, she's the greatest. I talked to her for like 5 seconds.
I know. And then you were a creep. You just like walked up to her and was like immediately like, let me help you with your bags. And
right,
be like, who the fuck is this kid?
Yes.
And now you're in love with her.
You're in
and
love
you
with
can't
her.
Stand it.
While she's eating hot snacks in a limo. You can't stop thinking about her. While she eating hot snacks, you think of her hot snatch. Yeah, it's so weird. So they go to bed, whatever. Okay, the next day, the opening scene is Screech walking on the beach in socks and shoes.
Ugh.
I put that on. White socks, full tennis shoes, in the water, on the beach. Now, he's videotaping everything, and then it's only like him and Lisa on the beach. She's going to like get a tan. He's walking.
And all her bathing suit is rad, by the way.
Yeah, I forget what it looks like, but I remember you legit saying it was rad.
It's basically just like a spandex, a little outfit, basically, but it's cool. She's got good style in this.
I wonder if those sirens are going to be, there's shit going down in Austin outside of our hotel room, apparently.
It's because this podcast is too hot.
Oh my God, y'all can't handle it. Okay, so they're hanging out, and then all of a sudden this tribe, the Hawaiian tribe, comes up and just fully kidnaps them. Kidnaps them. They look at Screech and they're like, oh my god, it's our leader. And then they go, yeah, let's go get him. And they just fully kidnap him. And they also put Lisa like over one of their shoulders. Just full kidnapping.
Yeah. It's a very like Bugs Bunny scenario.
Yes.
Where they're like, the natives come and like want to kidnap Bugs Bunny to put him in a soup.
In a soup. Here's what I want to talk about that. Because we talk about cartoons a lot. Because I love them. They formed me as a person. Bugs Bunny in particular. Because one day we talked about, well, there's the, everyone knows, like, quicksand already. That's a thing we all grew up thinking we were going to deal with on maybe a daily basis.
Right.
And I've never encountered quicksand. But then also, when we got on the subject of this too, where the episodes, how many? There were so many episodes where, like, natives tried to cook Bugs Bunny in a stew.
Yeah, with giant carrots and potatoes.
That's your favorite. You're like, they cut up carrots to put in there with him, dude.
Yeah, like, but giant carrots.
Yes.
To match, like, a giant rabbit in a cauldron.
Also, a rabbit, they never once, like, they put him whole in a
whole rabbit fur and everything
in the cult. Like, you would be picking rabbit fur out of your teeth. That's not a good stew. I wouldn't eat that. What was the other thing? The most recent time we talked about it is because I legit in my head got the Bugs Bunny opera, like, Figaro, Figaro, Figaro in my head one day, and I just had that in my head and I was picturing Bugs Bunny with the, like, blonde braids Viking helmet being like, Figaro, Figaro, Figaro.
There's a lot of, like, Looney Tunes situations in this show. There's
totally
a lot of, like, cartoon pratfalls.
So it really seems like they're about to kidnap them and, like, put them in a stew. And so they just walk off. Okay, the next scene is Kelly and her grandpa sitting talking, and he's got his lawyer with him, who is a total bizarro Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Like, he really looks like Tom Cruise. His name is Brian Hansen. But of course, Kelly, when introducing him, accidentally calls him Brian Handsome. And so Zach runs up while they're talking about the situation, and he goes, guess what? I have an idea. We can be your staff. We will. We're here for 2 weeks on vacation. We will... Excuse me, that's a burp off mic. We will be the hotel staff. How many of them are there? Zach, Kelly, Lisa, Screech, Slater, there's six of them. They're going to be the entire staff of a hotel resort.
Okay, I got, like, a couple things to
say. Oh, I got a million things to say about this.
Okay,
go.
First, remember when you were 17?
Mm-hmm.
We were 17 at the same time.
Yes.
Right? So, imagine if you and I went on vacation together.
Yes.
And we went to my grandpa's, like, failing resort.
Sure, you know I'm with you.
So then my grandfather reveals to us, already, like, why would he tell a bunch
why would
of
he
kids
tell us, like,
that
business
his
matters.
Business is failing,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That, yes. God, this is happening. And then, like, would you have had the confidence at 17 to be like,
no,
you know, we're going to save this shit. Like, we're going to save a grown man's business. Me and you, like, you and I, being 17-year-old kids, we're like, listen, we're going to, like... We have the means, the confidence, the organizational skills to, like, save a business owned by a person who's, like, three times our age.
Also, like, do we even have are we multi-talented enough to run a hotel at 17? Oh, we're 17. I'm going to be the maid, the cook, the concierge, the front desk.
Yes.
I'm going to do all that.
I know how businesses are run.
Yes.
Organizationally speaking, I know this is what you need to have in place. I'm just gonna, like, and then on top of that, I'm going to force my friends to work on their 2 week long vacation.
If I go on vacation with you and we get there and it's Hawaii and it's amazing, and on day two you're like, oh, guess what, we got to go to work, I'm like, hell no.
No, I am not going to scrub people's toilets on my fucking vacation when I'm 17. And then it would be that thing where it was like, if my grandfather's failing, my grandfather's like, listen, girls, my business is failing, I would just be like, wow, that sucks. Like, I would just be like,
I'd be like, not sure why you're telling us,
I don't know
why
it
sucks.
I don't think I can do anything about it because I'm 17 and I don't know how to run a business, but I guess we'll just have to sit here quietly and be sad for my grandpa. Like, I'm not like, spring to action. Let's fucking get this shit going. Like, I'm like, who the fuck is, like,
exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
dude, exactly. Spring to action.
Let's do something.
Let me put my teenage brain to work for you, grandpa, and save your business.
And everyone's on board and is not hating this idea at
yes,
all.
Yes. Exactly.
I think this goes back to the whole thing that I think that Zach is a shitty friend. Like, I keep telling you, I'm like, oh, Zach is like the worst friend ever. And I don't understand how he's managed to like hypnotize these friends of his to do his bidding.
Yes, 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 yes.
I mean, he's basically like an L. Ron Hubbard type. He's basically like, here's what I'm like, you know, you guys are going to work for.
He definitely has the charisma of a cult leader. That's for sure.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, you're exactly right. And that's, yes, you're exactly right. Plus, I would argue that the grandpa, like a grandpa wouldn't even allow it. Like, he'd be like, what? You don't have to work. I'm not going to make you guys work for 2 weeks.
Listen, this is not your lot to deal with. Yeah, this exactly. is my own problem.
So Zach comes up and he's like, I got an idea. What if 6 17-year-olds fully staff your hotel for the 2 weeks that you need? And then I also wrote that because, like, weirdly, the lawyer guy spells it out, you know, to tell us dumb audience what's going on, because he goes, in order to pay whatever, like the foreclosure bill, you would have to fill it to capacity for 2 weeks. And so I'm like, really? Only 2 weeks? And then he's already back in the game?
Yeah, right.
Like, that's not that much. So how convenient, not only that the teenagers are going to work, but they're like, cool, we already know a principal tour group with exactly enough people to come fill your hotel for 2 weeks.
That's what I said. I was like, this is the weakest plot.
Yes. It's like everything comes together. And this is like, we have the exact right number of guests for the exact right time. So, the next scene, they cut back to this native tribe, like telling Screech, like, you're our king, we think.
Oh, God, this is the worst.
This is like Emma Stone in Aloha.
Totally.
Like, oh, really? Screech looks like a native Hawaiian?
Right. And the leader of this Hawaiian group is named Keanu, by the way, which I was like, oh, okay. Maybe the writers were like, we need to find kind of a Hawaiian name that, you know, kids
will recognize.
Yeah, let's just say his name is Keanu.
Keanu, totally.
Like, oh, my God.
So, yeah, he's like, we think you're our king. Come back to life or whatever. And, of course, Screech is like, yeah, definitely. Because Lisa's like, tell them you're not Hawaiian, as if you would have to look at your face. But he's like, I'm not telling them, whatever. So this is so nitpicky, but like they go, they're all cab drivers. Like, this entire tribe is cab drivers.
So racist.
The entire tribe is cab drivers, are cab drivers. And there's one dude's beeper goes off, and then all their beepers go off. And then they're all like, we got to go back to work. See you later, King Screech. And I'm like, they all have the exact same shift. All of them. All of them have to go drive cabs at the exact same time. Okay. So that's awesome. So the next scene is they're back. The whole crew, the whole gang is at the hotel where the principals are staying. And Zach runs up with a sheet of paper and he's like, all right, I got everybody's room numbers. Let's go do this. Which, how?
How did he manage to get personal information from the guests of this other hotel?
The other hotel. Like, you can just walk into the front desk and be like, tell me the room numbers of these people.
He just walked up to him and been like, can I print out of every person that's staying here and their sensitive, like, personal information?
And they're like, of course you can.
Of course.
Blonde teenager.
We'll give it to you.
So he's like, here's where everybody's rooms are. Let's go fuck with them. Now, this is the start of some beautiful cartoon shenanigans.
Oh, Jesus.
First is Slater. He's dressed as a room service waiter. I love it already. Fake mustache, fake glasses.
Because, okay, I'm trying to think of the point of this is because they want to go to this hotel and make it a bad experience for these principals so that they'll come and stay at Kelly's grandpa's hotel. Okay.
Yes.
Because I was like, why the fuck are they? Okay.
Yeah, they are trying to make them think their hotel sucks so they will escape to Kelly's grandpa's, which is already far-fetched also because there's like a million hotels in Hawaii. Why would they
Why would they stay at that one?
Yeah.
After Belding had already been like, I don't want to fuck with y'all for 2 weeks.
Yes. He's like, I never want to see you again.
Right.
And then they're like, come stay with us. So the first up is Slater dressed as the room service waiter, which you, again, you're like, here we go. Wigs and costumes already coming into it.
The best thing about this show is this idea that, well, they're always tricking people into thinking that they're other people, mm-hmm. and that they have...
They're all masters of disguise.
They're all masters of disguise, but that they have, like, the wigs and the costumes just ready to go at any time.
Yeah.
You know, like, they're
where,
like,
where is this Hawaiian wig shop that they all got to go
this,
to?
This, like, Hawaiian costume shop where they're like, listen, okay, today we're going to trick a bunch of principals. What do we need? We need a janitor's outfit.
Yep.
We need to get a handlebar mustache because we're going to make Slater into this weird Italian guy from Brooklyn.
Yes. That is what. So he comes in dressed as the, he's in the, you know, uniform of the thing, and he comes in to give the guy breakfast that he ate it in the hall. Like, it's like half eaten because he wants him to think like the room service sucks. So he opens the cloche and it's like a half eaten piece of toast and one piece of bacon. And the guy's like, what the fuck is this? And yeah, Slater's like, hey, you don't like breakfast? Like,
it's like, why are you complaining? You know,
it's like accent work. He didn't have to do accent work.
I argue that if he just came in.
Yeah.
As, like, himself.
Yes.
And was like, oh, I'm sorry, sir. This is the way it is here.
Yeah.
The guy wouldn't have known any better.
Yeah.
But he decided instead to dress like an Italian guy from New York.
Right.
With a fucking mustache.
Yep.
And do the whole accent.
Right.
For what? Well, it's just an extra step that he didn't have to take.
He didn't have to do it. I will say this, though. I have to say this in their defense. They actually did have to do disguises only because they knew, or maybe they didn't know, but they're going to go stay at that hotel. So they would have gone, hey, aren't you the kid that fucked up my breakfast? Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. You're thinking ahead.
But I'm just saying, so they did need shit to cover their faces, but he didn't need to be a Brooklyn guy. He didn't need to have, like, an accent.
He totally didn't.
Yeah. So, and he goes, you're right. It's like, if I'm staying in a hotel and I don't even have to interact with the room service person. If I open the door, my room service is there, I bring it in and it's like half eaten, already I'm pissed. I don't need a guy to be like yelling in my face. I would just call down and go, somebody ate my fucking food. What's the deal?
Right.
This place sucks. But he not only brings in half eaten food, but then like runs out with it. Like the guy chases him. Like it's the most, it's like, oh my God. That's like, you'd get like arrested.
Yeah.
That's just insane.
And this guy is the grumpiest dude ever.
The grumpiest of all time. Oh,
man.
So that's the first. Second is Jessie in a maid outfit that she also got. And she's German for some reason. She has a German accent.
They always make her wear like a Holga German, like older lady outfit and do that. Because she was that another time in another episode where she was wearing the gray wig in a bun.
Yeah.
And like a maid's outfit.
And was like a stern German woman. So she comes in, she's German, and she's like screaming at the lady and is like throwing her off the bed to change the sheets and shit. Then, this is the most egregious, I argue. Kelly and Lisa on the beach, they're chilling on the beach. They run out to the water. They scream shark. Scream it. Yes. Bloody murder. Everybody runs out of the water. And then they visibly high-five each other. Because I wrote that down because I'm like, everyone could have seen you do that. Like,
yeah, it was totally like a beer commercial high five.
Yes. And it's like, okay, cool. I'm glad like these crying children that are like running for their lives out of the water saw you high five over your prank.
Yeah, and you said, I'm pretty sure it's illegal to scream shark at a beach.
Isn't that like screaming fire in a theater?
Yeah.
Like, isn't that a thing you could get in serious trouble for?
Sure.
Yeah. So they high five right on the beach. They don't even try to keep it secret. And then the fucking apex.
Here we go.
Screech and Zach come in. They're wearing electricians' jumpsuits or whatever, but they are both straight up Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World.
Yes.
I mean, there's no getting around. They're Wayne and Garth.
Yeah.
They didn't try to change those characters in any way. Because I was like, how did they not get sued?
Well, you know, part of me was thinking that SNL is an NBC show. So, and like, so
you were it's NBC.
It's
property.
Leveraging property. It's don't you know anything about television? No,
it's family. It's NBC property.
Right. So yeah. I was thinking maybe that was just like a shout out. But yeah. Also, like, again, if we're in a hotel room right now,
mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
If two people who came in clearly dressed in a costume to start fucking with our room, we would be like calling the fucking cops.
Of course.
We wouldn't be like, oh, these guys are on the up and up. They're going to fix our electronics in this room.
Yes, exactly. Like, I would just be like, what are you doing here? I mean, well, first of all, I'd be like, why are you guys dressed like Wayne and Garth? But yeah, I'd be like, what? No, you can't come in. Yes, exactly. So they come in and they're supposed to be exterminators. And if that's all believe, like, if the people believe them, like, okay, they're exterminators, they start spraying immediately, and they spray in the people's faces. They're like, we gotta get rid of the bugs in this room. Pff, in your face.
We're gonna put pesticides in your face.
And the
hose you down with pesticides.
Yes. And the people aren't like, what the fuck are you doing? And then now those people gotta go take, like, a Silkwood shower, because they just got, like, pesticides rained down on them.
I would be, like, throwing punches.
Yes!
I wouldn't just be so accepting of this. You know what I mean? This is exactly what they're doing. They're like, oh!
Right.
I'm minorly inconvenienced that I've had DDT sprayed my face or whatever. It's like, no, this hotel, the protocol in this hotel is crazy.
Yeah.
I was just poisoned.
Right.
Potentially, but...
in my mouth. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they... Yeah, and then I wrote down again as we were talking costumes and wigs at a moment's notice, because they had to have like a wig trunk. Everybody's wearing one, and mustaches and fake glasses.
The level of preparation that, because you think about this, it's like, okay, where do they get these costumes? Did they bring them with them?
Mm-hmm.
Did they go to the?
Did they pack the wig trunk?
The local
and check it?
Hawaiian costume shop.
Yeah,
and being like, all right, here's the deal. We're gonna need many costumes for this.
We need a Wayne everyone, wig, a Garth wig.
Everyone's on board today. Yeah. Everyone's got to pick a stereotypical foreign character that they're going to assume. You got to get the wig, the costume down.
Seriously,
like, everyone, let's go to the shop early in the morning.
Yeah, the meeting. I wonder if they had auditions. Who could do the best, like, Brooklyn accent? Oh, it's Slater? Okay, you're this guy.
Yeah. Jessie, as we've known, is a good old German woman.
German. She's got that down.
You know, Zach's going to have to go get the print out of all the guests in the morning.
Yeah.
Then we go to the wig shop. Then we go to the costume shop. We ain't got the time to do this shit.
See, it's true. I mean, I love thinking about it step by step. I love it. So, everybody thinks this hotel sucks now. So, they go to breakfast, like, as themselves. Oh, well, and then also Zach runs into Andrea in the elevator for like 2 seconds, and that's when he's like, oh my god, it's fate. Don't you believe in fate? And she's like, I guess. We just got in the same elevator. Like, calm down.
He is turned out.
Oh, he is so turned out. He is like, girl.
Falls hard.
Yeah.
He's like, and he's like almost pissed.
Yeah.
He's like, don't you see we have a connection? I'm like, I just saw you for like 5 seconds in an airport, and we have a connection.
Also, I'm like, please, can a guy come at me that hard? Like, that doesn't happen in real life.
I mean, that's hard.
It is hard.
That's like
stalker it's a hard step.
Hard.
So they all go to breakfast with Belding, and while they're sitting there with her, they're like, Belding, what's up? How's the hotel? And he's like, it's super great. And then that's when everybody runs up being like, this place is shitty. And all the principals are like, this place is a fucking shithole. Get us out of here. And that's when they're like, really? We know a place. He's like, where am I going to find a place to hold all my principles in moment's notice? And they're like, oh, I think we got a place. And then that's when they, you know, they're like, the hideaway. It's rad. Let's do it. So.
Oh, and by the way, in this scene, I wrote down that Belding is wearing this super tight matching short set.
Yeah.
Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah.
Matching short set, where
head to
it's
toe
like,
Hawaiian print,
head to toe Hawaiian print, chubby shorts.
Yes, shorts. Yes.
So he's like full on, like
he's in vacation mode. He's in island mode,
Hawaiian style.
Yes, full circle.
Right.
So they go to, I mean, I assume that day, that night, they go to the hideaway, which I want to know how Belding was able to wrangle refunds for like however many people. That's amazing. They go to hideaway, and then this is another like nitpicky thing I wrote, but just in the same vein as like wigs and costumes, because they get there and there's a giant banner that's like welcome principles, giant Kinko's quality banner.
Kinko's quality turnaround is probably at least a week.
Yep. And it's humongous, hanging up. They got that banner printed overnight. During the day,
and this is on the assumption that this all worked out,
exactly.
By the way.
Exactly. What if it didn't work out? Y'all just dropped like $200 on that banner.
Yeah. You're going to have to go to like Quick Signs and try to get your money back.
Yes.
I doubt it.
Yep. So they get there. The principals are all like, okay, cool. This is great. Then that's when the lawyer, Brian the lawyer, is there. Because I don't remember exactly what he says. I just, in my notes, it just says, old lawyer, she's 17. Because I think that's when he hits on her the first time.
Yes.
He hits on Kelly in front of her grandpa. And I'm like, she's 17. That's not legal even yet. Mm-mm. And if he's a lawyer, meaning he's already had to go to law school and stuff, he's
got to
already be like 24 or 25, right? How long is law school? 3 years or 4 years?
Yeah. He's definitely like in his mid, like early to mid 20s.
Yes. Scamming on a 17-year-old in front of her grandpa. Super weird.
Yeah.
Any grandpa would go, yeah, that's gross, man. That's my 17-year-old
Yeah, plus you're a lawyer. You're aware of the legality of teenagers and how you can't mess with them.
Yeah. All right. So now we start like the clips of the Zach and company being the staff of the hotel.
Oh, Jesus.
And this is when they show them taking the principals out on activities. The first being Zach takes a bunch of them out on a boat. Of course, that fucks up. I wrote down principals wearing sweater sets. They're on a boat. They're on a boat in Hawaii, and they're wearing like sweater sets buttoned up to the neck. Then the next clip is Slater showing everyone how to throw a net. He just like throws a net in the ocean. He's like, that's how it's done. Like, all right, anyone can do that.
Pretty sweet excursion. I was like, oh, I paid extra to have this like kid show me how to throw a net into
the water. Then they have Jesse's the cook. They make Jesse be the cook, which is dumb anyway, but the way that she's acting like she's never stepped foot in a kitchen when she's already, as we know, been a part of a spaghetti sauce company. She's already been a very successful spaghetti sauce.
Don't act like you don't know what this is.
Yeah. But she's acting, she's in a kitchen, like fumbling as if she's never stepped foot in a kitchen. And look, I'm not like a chef by any means, but I know how to read. I know how to follow directions. And she's just like acting like a Three Stooges movie.
Right.
And then they have Lisa and Kelly teaching women how to hula.
Oh, God.
And there's one part where one of the women raises her hand and she's like, aren't you supposed to be doing things with your hands? And then that's when they do Itsy Bitsy Spider. And at the end of it, all the women applaud as if that's not
like,
a scam.
That was exactly what I expected.
Yes. Adult women are like, thank you for teaching me Itsy Bitsy Spider.
Oh, it's like this whole montage sequence or whatever the hell the sequence is like so like, again, we're in a hotel right now doing this.
Yes,
right?
yes.
If we walked downstairs and saw that the entire hotel was being staffed by teenage kids from high school, we would leave. The fuck is happening?
Yes.
I'm like, I'm not going to get on a boat with you. I'm not going to let you show me how to hula. Like, this is, and there's only six of you.
There's only six of
and
you.
And there's 40 of us. Like,
that's exactly. I wrote that down because during this montage, every person is doing a different activity.
Right.
And I'm like, what about the people who stayed at the hotel?
Right.
You got nothing. Right. If you call the front desk, no one's answering.
Right.
Your toilet gets plugged. No one's coming to fix
it. Everyone's out.
Everyone's out doing activities.
Right.
There's no staff.
Because I know some of these bitches are like in the room.
Yeah.
Getting room service.
Yeah.
They're like, I don't want to go out on an excursion. I want to like relax.
Yes.
I want to, you know, watch the hotel TV and order room service. Oh, wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
No one to cook.
No one's there.
No one's
answering the phone.
Yeah.
No one's nothing. I need new towels. Where are the towels? No one's there.
No one's there because they're out on a boat.
Because the six employees of this entire hotel are out throwing nets in the water or whatever. Yeah, it's not a practical plan. It would not work. So, but basically the montage is everyone fucking up. Everyone fucks up at their job. So the principals are getting, now they're like, what, we got shitty hotel number two? Like, this sucks. So then they cut to, okay, I love this. They cut to Brian, the lawyer, who we find out is like two-timing, because he's with the guy who owns the other hotel.
Suge
Knight. Worthington. Yeah, Suge Knight Worthington. And they're talking to a construction guy. Like, he has his construction helmet on, and he's like looking at the blueprints, because they're talking to him going like, okay, here's where we want you to build this. Here's where we want you to build this when we own this. And the foreman is like, okay. And then that's when they like tell the foreman the plan. I just love it so much in any movie or TV show where the enemy, like the bad guy, tells a person who has nothing to do with anything at all, like, here are all my plans. Like, do you know what I mean? He's like, hey, construction foreman, yeah, but once I scam them and I take over the land, it's totally gonna be mine. Then you're gonna build on it. And I just feel like that guy would go, I don't know why you told me all that, but all right. Yeah, I love that.
I'm hired to do the job, sir. I don't need to know the diabolical, like, underpinnings of what, you know.
So him and Brian like tell him that, and they're like, just wait until we totally scam these guys. And he's like, all right. So then we cut back to the kitchen where everybody's like, hey, Jesse, did you cook the meal for everybody? And she's like, no, because I'm a total idiot. And then the tribe guys that are obsessed with Screech walk in. They just walk into the kitchen.
Sure.
Like, no one invited them.
Right.
Walk right into the kitchen, the private kitchen of this hotel. And they're like, hey, we made Screech some stew. And then they're like, oh, my God, you guys saved the day. We're going to serve the stew to all the principals. Which it's like, again, cartoonish. Like, did you guys just bring a giant cauldron of stew?
I know.
And no one questions what's in it at all. Like, everyone immediately eats it. No one is like, what's in this? What if I'm allergic? Is there gluten? Like, no one asks any questions. They're just like, cool, we'll just eat the stew.
Right, exactly.
No one knows what's in it. So then, that's happening. And then, I don't know if this is the next day. Maybe it is. But I just have, because I wrote down, lawyer asking Kelly out in front of Grandpa.
Ooh.
And again, she's 17, and Grandpa seems to be chill with this, which is insane. So, the next day, Slater is driving the van for, I mean, it's like to begin another day of a montage of them fucking up with the activities.
This van sequence is too long.
It's like 15 minutes. Yeah.
Should have been on the cutting room floor.
Right.
But yet.
Like, who directed this? Judd Apatow? Like, you don't need to leave in everything.
Why is this a 2.5 hour long comedy?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, so the next day they show Slater, he's driving the tour bus to go show everybody the sights, and they really truly show for like 10 minutes a van driving around Hawaii, and we're like, we get it, Hawaii's beautiful, like, we get it. So that's way
which
too
also
long.
I said that it also looks like they're just filming right off of the PCH.
Yeah, you're like, this is the PCH.
I was like,
anyway,
they're not in Hawaii, they're in St. Louis Obispo right now. Like, that's, there's nothing Hawaiian.
This is
about
Malibu. This.
This
is not Hawaii.
Yeah.
So while he's doing that, it's Slater and Jesse driving this tour bus, and also I think Screech is on a videotaping. They cut to Zach, and he's on a date with Andrea. They're on a picnic. They cut to him on a date with Andrea, and then they cut to Kelly on a yacht with Brian. So here's my thing. Y'all already only have 6 employees. You let 2 of them have the day off to go on dates?
Yep.
2 of them.
2.
So you got 4 people, 3 of which are on a tour bus, so that means 1 person is back at the hotel, like, fielding requests from all the guests. Like,
Lisa.
Right? Yes, Lisa's the only one there. And she's probably at the mall, let's be real.
Yeah, let's be real.
She's not there.
No, she don't care.
So Zach and Kelly have the day off, they're on their dates. Zach's at lunch with his brunette goddess.
And also their picnic looked like they just plopped themselves down in the middle of the woods.
Like the forest.
Like, such amazing scenery. It's like, oh, we just put a blanket down in the middle of the woods.
It's true, because they're like, so it's like the only spot that doesn't have a tree on it. And they're like, oh, cool. Y'all are just staring at tree trunks. Like,
I know.
For your romantic picnic.
It's like, and if I'm this woman, I'm like, I've seen this guy twice.
Yes.
He wants to bring me to the woods to have a picnic. Oh,
yeah,
this is completely on the up and up.
Totally, like, you would think, like, they're walking deeper and deeper into the woods, and she's like, all right, I don't know I don't even know your last name,
bro. This guy just
bro.
Came up to me at the airport, which is already, like, how many times are you following people who just come up to you at the airport?
Right, exactly. You know? Exactly. No, I didn't even think of that. Like, thinking of the idea of him holding hands with her being like, no, let's go deeper in the woods, and she's like, all right.
Like, god damn, this kid.
Yeah, so they're, like, in the woods fully. And they're sitting on their blanket, and that's when Zach goes, you're the most amazing girl I've ever known.
Oh, my God.
He said, and I'd be like, I've talked to you a grand total of 10 minutes in my life.
You couldn't pay me to be a teenager again, I swear to God. Because guy was like, I'm obsessed and in love with you. I've only seen you, like, once.
Yes. He's like, you're the most amazing girl I've ever known. And she's just like, yeah, cool. Like, she isn't like, slow your roll, buddy.
Right.
Pump the brakes.
You're 17.
Yeah.
Like, I know you think that I'm the most amazing person you've ever known.
And I'd be like, you don't even know me. You talked to me for like 5 seconds. Right. So then she's like, yeah, you're cool too. I got to go though. And he's like, let me go with you. And she's like, okay. She lets him go with her. And then that's when they just get up and walk off.
And leave.
They just completely leave all their picnic shit in the woods.
We're just going to leave the blanket, the dishes
yep.
in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, This may be sacred Polynesian land.
We're just going to fully litter. Yeah. They leave it all in the forest.
They
the
don't
Hawaiian
like
forest.
pack out or whatever nope. that camping thing is. It's nope. like they're just like, let's just leave it on the floor.
They just get up and leave. And so she's like, okay. So the next scene, they're walking up to the beach and she's like, hey, Zach, I want you to meet my fucking kid.
Wah, 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 wah.
And my notes say, bold move introducing the kid on the first date.
Yes.
First date.
First date.
That's barely a date.
Yeah.
And she's like, here's my daughter. And Zach, a 17-year-old dude, is like, yeah, it's cool.
It's like, she's amazing.
He's not like, holy fuck, I can't be a father. I'm 17. This dude's already signing up for stepdadhood.
Yeah.
I mean, it blows my mind.
And the kid is apparently 4, but she looks like she's 9.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think. I don't know shit about, like, kid development. Also, yes, she looks way older. I just can't. I mean, I remember the first time I watched this just being like, I'm 36 years old right now. I'm 36. If I go on a first date with a grown ass, also 36 plus year old man, and he's like, first date, I want you to meet my daughter, I'd be like, bye.
Yeah.
Bye. That should not be happening.
Yeah.
And that is, you even said, you're like, is this kid going to be like, is that my daddy? That's crazy.
And then I'm also trying to think of, I was trying to figure out, because obviously Andrea looks like she's 40.
She does. She looks old. She looks at least our age, if not older.
Yeah, definitely looks 40.
Yeah.
But then she says that her child is 4.
Yes.
But that she had the kid in high school.
Yeah.
So she, Andrea, we're led to believe that Andrea is in between the ages of 20 and 22.
That's what I wrote down. Yeah, that was the range I wrote down too. We guess she's between 20 and 22, which I would also even argue that's an age where you're not dating high schoolers. If you're 20 and a 17-year-old steps you, wouldn't you be like, what? I'm an adult.
And plus, I'd be like, well, you're still in high school and you live in Los Angeles, California.
Right.
I'm not going to introduce you to my kid.
Yes, exactly.
Why
all
would I do that? It's like, I don't even want to introduce dudes that I'm dating to my parents, let alone be like, oh, I just literally met this child.
Yes.
At in the high airport. School. I've just met him at the airport. Now I'm going to introduce him to my daughter.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Who, like you said, will be, you know, when he leaves in 2 weeks, she'll be like, how come he's not my daddy? And then you got to go, well, honey, that's because he's in fucking high school. He had to go back to high school. That's why he can't be your dad. He's got to finish his senior year. That's why he ain't your daddy.
Oh, my God.
Yes. It's so insane.
Yeah.
So that's super crazy. And also, Zach is so chill with it. It's just beyond comprehension.
Yeah.
Initially
his face was like, what? But then he was immediately like, that's it. I know exactly what I need to do.
Yes.
I need to be a father to this child.
It's oh my God. So insane. Okay. So, and then also, like, during this, they cut to, you know, Kelly on her yacht date with the lawyer dude, which is also super weird. Like, she's hanging out on a yacht with this grown ass lawyer who's like rubbing suntan lotion on her. Whatever. It's so weird. Okay. And then, but then that's when he's like trying to be like, yo, tell your grandpa to sell this shit. And she's like, all right. So then they get back to the thing. Everybody gets back to the hotel. All the staff comes back because everybody's back from the activities. And Lisa, it was apparently Lisa's responsibility to cook dinner. And so they're like, do you cook dinner? And she's like, no, but I bought 100 TV dinners. And she presents grocery bags full of TV dinners. And I love that she thinks that's a good idea, that they would, everyone staying in the hotel would be chill with having like Salisbury steak or whatever for dinner. Then they cut to, they're like, we can't have this, but well, let's go ahead and put on the show that we're going to put on tonight for everybody, I guess. Because they do, they cut to all the principals sitting outside watching this like Hawaiian show where it has, you know, like guys throwing fire
a
batons. Yeah. What did I call it?
A Hawaiian show. You're like, they're going to put
white,
this
y'all.
Hawaiian
white, y'all.
Style pageant, yes. Where people are doing, it's a luau, girl.
Okay. They do a luau. Now I wrote down, how did they afford these legit fire dudes? Because they have, like, legit Hawaiian dudes, like, throwing fire, doing Hawaiian dances. Where did those guys come from?
Yeah, maybe they just met them.
While they play drum. The Hawaiian guys are doing the show while the whitey-ass kids are, like, playing the traditional drums. Like, how can they all be drummers already?
Oh, and also, this is so fucking great. So, there's a part where the music switches to where it's traditional luau music. Yes. And then it switches to, like, electrified, like, rock and roll. Yes. You know, it reminds me of that one episode where the band is playing, like, you know, whatever, some kind of waltz.
Right.
You know, and then it turns to, like, Beethoven, rock and roll, Beethoven. It's, like, the same thing. Like, rock and roll, Hawaiian luau music. And then, like, the grandpa who is playing a ukulele suddenly is like, oh, did he just plug in? Like, he just plugged in and then, like, smashed the fucking reverb pedal. And now he's, like, wailing on the ukulele.
You're 100%. It's so fun. Yes, because it is. It's like, dun, 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 dun. And then it's like,
it's like luau music for the kids.
Yes. It's like electric luau. Totally. And then all the principals... The principals get hyped. Like, they jump up and start dancing to, like, them shredding. It's so weird. Like, if anything, they would be like, why did you plug in? We liked it better when it was chill. But as soon as they, like, have the fucking badass guitar riff.
Because it's a new generation. Yeah. And also, I want
to This ain't your daddy's luau.
This
Totally.
This is luau for us.
Yeah.
I want to ask, too, by the way, because I think enough people have listened to your podcast that maybe we can actually find this out.
Okay.
I want to know who is shredding on all of this, like, Saved by the Bell stock music.
Yeah, who's the house band?
Who is the, like, Eddie Van Halen of these, like, these, like, Saved by the Bell house songs?
Because I think it's the same people who were the Zac Attack. There are songs in this movie that are the same voices as the Zac Attack, so I'm sure they just had, like, one in-house band.
I need to know that person. Male or female, I'm not saying who. I'm just saying, like, please step up and get your props.
If you played in the Saved by the Bell band.
If you were shredding on all of these songs.
I want to know you.
Yes.
Definitely. So it turns into, like, an electric luau. And while they're changing clothes, there's a scene where they're changing costumes. It's Zach and Slater. And Slater's like, you know, yeah, how's it going with that lady or whatever? And Zach goes, I love Andrea even more than Kelly. And it's like, really? You've known Kelly since you were, like, 5 years old. Mm-hmm. You've known Andrea for, like, 2 days. And it's crazy because then that's when Slater is the voice of reason.
Yeah, which is so odd.
And Slater is fully like, yo, dog, you're ready to be a dad? Like, we haven't even gone to our senior year of high school yet. Like, Slater is fully like...
Listen to yourself.
Yeah.
I was like, are you crazy? Listen to yourself.
He totally is. Because, like, yes, Zach is like, her kid is great. Like, I can't wait to be a stepdad style.
I'm dropping out of high school and moving to Hawaii to be someone's dad. And Slater's like, are you insane?
Slater, for real, is like, listen to yourself, dude. But he is. Like, Zach is like, I'm ready. I'm ready for fatherhood. And yeah, Slater's like, you're tripping balls right now, dude. And then... then we finish the shredding luau, and then Kelly walks Brian, the lawyer, out to his car.
Out to his Rari. He's got a white Rari.
She walks him out to his car, and he starts it, and then he's like, oh, you can leave. It takes a while to warm up. Like, oh,
a brand new Rari. A brand Ferrari? New fucking sports car. He's like, it's going to take a while to get the engine going
on this.
It's going
to take a while for the engine on this brand new Ferrari to warm up. And she's like, cool, and walks off. Which is so weird. Like, I just love the oddness of those kind of things where it's like, if a guy who is sweating me is like, you could just walk off now. I'd be like, wait, what? Like, you don't want to make out with me? Or I don't understand, like, these moves. So, yeah, he's like, let my Rari warm up, peace. And she walks off. And then that's when he immediately gets on the phone. Yes. Immediately gets on his car phone to call the other, like, Suge Knight corporate dude to be like, hey, guess what? We're fucked. We got to up the pranks, scheming to get this guy out of his building. So he immediately does that. Like, you can't wait the, like... 10 minutes to drive to your office. You got to get on your car phone right then, right in front of the people that you shouldn't be hearing you. I mean, it's beautiful.
Right. It's like if the plan falls, we all know where the leaks were.
Yeah, exactly. You know. So while he's doing that, Lisa overhears him on the phone and is just like, all right, that's weird. Now, the next thing, we cut to yet another montage. Another look how great Hawaii is montage.
I mean, this is the worst.
This one, the musical accompaniment for this montage is a fake Beach Boys song. Oof. Oh, my God. And again, with the most on-the-nose lyrics, it's straight up like, look at Zach surfing with a step kid. It's like, and the crew getting in the ocean.
Everybody playing tag football.
Everybody playing tug of war. Kelly got a tall bikini on. Look at her ass. It's tall.
Okay. Also, like, how many times have you actually seen people play tug of war on the That's beach in real life?
You totally turn to me and you're like, hey, have you ever seen anyone on the beach playing tug of war in your life? And I'm like, never once. Never one time.
In a movie or television show, they're like, do we have more than 8 people on a beach at the same time?
Yeah.
And we're going to have to either play volleyball or tug of
war. Or both. And tug of war, it's got to be the one where they dig a pit in the middle of water.
And somebody falls in.
That's like labor intensive. And it's like, who? Yeah, because if you're on the beach, do you just go up to strangers and you're like, you want to play tug of war with me? Will you help me build the water pit that we're going to fall into when one of us loses?
Right.
Like, it's totally weird. So, yeah, the fake Beach Boys song is incredible. I mean,
there's
some
really
incredible.
Sweet editing in this, too, where they take, like, certain little scenes and then they just loop them. Like,
yeah.
Zach, you know, lifts his new stepdaughter. he lifts his new stepdaughter in the air and, like, right. spins her around. And then it's, like, you know... repeats like loops yeah. on 3 times, like, oh my God, this is like
when it's like, look how much fake fun we're having.
It's like the fucking corniest, goofiest,
it so is
fake fun in the world.
So, and I wrote down, this is what it says in my notes, everyone has the day off for a montage. Everyone
for a montage.
Let me tell you this right now, they for 2 weeks they have to work at this hotel, right? In these two, according to this movie, in the 2 weeks, they got like a week vacation. You know what I'm saying? They have to work for 2 weeks, but he was like, I'll give you half of that off as vacation days.
They're already getting vacation time. They just started.
Yes, yes.
Usually you got to wait like a month before that kicks
in. Yeah, because in this montage, everyone is partying. So no one is at this hotel working.
Yeah, and people are calling up to the front desk being like, yo, I need soap.
Yes, no, and no one's answering.
No one's cleaned our rooms. We don't have fresh towels. Nope. Oh, they're on the beach playing tug of war.
Yeah, exactly. So then we cut to a bank meeting, like the grandpa and fake lawyer Brian and the corporate honcho.
And Kelly.
Exactly. You go, because they walk into the bank and they're talking to the bank guy and he's like, sorry, bro, like your shit's foreclosed on now. You ain't pay us back. And he's like, yeah, I did. And then Brian's like, I lost the papers, whatever. All this fucking bank corporate talk. And then they cut to Kelly and she's like, what? And it's like, you turn to me and you're like, why is Kelly at this bank meeting? It's like all business. And she's like, wait a minute.
She's able to sit on these like high level talks.
Yes.
Suddenly.
Yes. Like, why would her grandpa bring her? Like, hey, honey, will you please come to this meeting with me?
I gotta say, man, grandpa is basically like putting a lot of shit on his grand, like, usually when you're a parent, you're like, I'm just trying to shield my kids from the harsh realities, yes, of the financial world. Yes. As a grown man, I don't want to let my teenage daughter and her friends know that I got a failing business and I'm like a failed man.
Yes.
Yet, like, I'm just going to include her on all of this shit.
Oh, I'm going to divulge
all my problems to these kids. She's going to come with me to my fucking foreclosure meeting. It's like,
you're right, because even now, like, if I'm talking to my mom on the phone and she starts talking to me about like business shit or like stocks, I'm like, what? Next question. I'm like, okay, I don't know what any of this means. And I'm grown as fuck. Like, so I can't imagine at 17 her being like, yeah, can you come into my corporate meeting today and just hang out?
I know. It's like, he's not even, that's like a lot of shit to put on a 17 year old kid to be like, you're gonna have to worry about me.
Yeah.
Potentially finances. Being homeless.
Yes.
You know, it's like,
I need you to, honey, to know the details of my finances right now. Okay, grandpa. What? Yeah. So she's sitting in this meeting And then that's when, you know, the bank, I think it's like Brian, it comes down to Brian, the lawyer, like losing some paperwork or something. And he's like, I'll have to go back to my office to look for his paperwork. So then Kelly gets back. They're all sitting around, like, you know, Zach and crew and her grandpa. They're all like sitting around the hotel chilling, again, chilling, even though they have like an entire full house of people to take care of. And they go, you know, the grandpa's talking about the meeting. And then that's when Lisa goes, I heard Brian on the phone with the other guy. And then they figure out, like, oh, shit, Brian is a liar.
Yeah, Brian's in on it. And he's basically, like, you know, used Kelly to convince her grandpa to sell the business. And so...
But that's when Zach, in true Zach Morris fashion, immediately is like, oh, my God, I have a scheme. Here's my scheme idea.
I got it. I got the exact plan.
Yep. Total scheme idea that I immediately thought of right now. And then that's when he like lays it out. And the next scene is they cut to Belding. Okay. Oh my God. I got to put this down. I got to put my drink down. Cause here's, oh my God. So the next scene, Kelly gets Brian, the lawyer, to come to a museum. What is it? A museum?
It's like the local university.
Yeah, where it's...
It is like the Department of Anthropology or some shit. Yeah.
It's supposed to be some... Belding is playing a professor. Mm. And again, Belding went to the wig shop with them.
There has got to be some sort of like... Because Zach's quick schemes that are fully formed, no brainstorming. He's just like, I know exactly the scheme.
Yes.
Has to have this like wig and costume contingent, because otherwise, how do they even know to get? They're like, well, here's the plan. We're gonna trick somebody into thinking that Belding is a professor at this college.
Right.
We need to definitely get him an Einstein wig all professors have Einstein hair.
Exactly.
Like, get him the sweater vest and you know, the pocket glasses protector. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like where. The wigs and costumes are so on the spot that I'm like, this has to be, they definitely have some kind of like wig van and costume corral that they travel with, apparently.
Right. He brings his wig trunk with him everywhere.
Exactly.
No, you're right. Cause, and then funny, we were watching, you did turn to me and you're like, oh yeah, because every professor has Einstein hair. Like, it's a requirement for a professor.
And everyone has to talk like this.
Yes, he was like the nutty professor, literally. Yeah, and he was like, oh my God, like I'm the bumbling weird professor. And they got him behind the desk of a real dude. Like, they come in the place and it's a real place and he's behind the counter. Like, they had to kick the real... How did they get the real guy out of there to get in that guy's office?
Yeah.
Amazing.
So, and then again, it goes back to that whole idea of, like, you saying, if Belding just came up as himself...
Right.
That guy would
never know.
He would never know, because he's a believable professor. But yes, they had to go through the trouble of dressing up like Einstein.
Exactly, exactly. But yeah, Brian's never seen him before, so it's not like Brian would be like, wait a minute, I know this is your principal.
Right.
He would just be like, yeah. Okay, you're a professor. Like, I don't know who you are. Right. So, yeah, he comes in. He tells Brian he's got this fake deed that they fakey antiqued. You know what I mean? They just, like, burnt the edges with a lighter. And they're like, oh, my God, it's, like, 200 years old. And he goes, you know, Belding as the nutty professor is just like, yeah, this is the deed saying the tribe, whatever the tribe is that, like, worship Screech. They're like, this tells you that this is really their land. Like, their king signed it in, like, the 1700s, whatever, whatever. And so Brian is like, all right. He goes, hey. He just takes it. He's like, can I just take this deed to my boss and, like, show him what's up? And they're like, yeah. Like, they're not like, no. It's like, oh, can I just take the Magna Carta home real fast? Give it once over.
Can I just fold the Declaration of Independence and put it in my back pocket?
Yeah, just let me look at it at home. I'll bring it back to you.
Yeah.
Yes, and they're fully like, okay. Like, they don't even, like, weirdly fake fight him to make him think it's real. They're like, yeah, definitely take it home. And he's like, okay. So he takes the supposedly ancient deed, puts it in his pocket. And then, part of the... Then, while they're doing this, Screech and Slater, dressed in jumpsuits... Like, blue electrical guy jumpsuits, both wearing fake mustaches.
Again, more costumes and wigs.
Yep. Super fake mustaches come into the guy, the Suge Knight guy's office, like, the main dude. And they're like, yo, you got to get out of here. We got to check, like, your electrical outlets or something. And again, The guy does not ask for any credentials. He, like, how did they get past, like, his secretary? Like, whatever. They just walk right into his office, and he's like, okay, guys, do what you gotta do. And he just fully leaves. Like, he isn't even like, okay, I'll sit here and watch you check my outlets. Like, he just leaves.
Yeah.
And so they set up a camera in there, which 100% illegal. It's entirely illegal to put up a camera in somebody else's office.
I know. And then, like, also just Screech constantly traveling with, like, electronics.
With AV equipment.
Yeah.
Everywhere he goes.
Everywhere. Yeah,
yeah. And so he totally sets up a camera in the guy's office with microphones. Because they do that, and then the next shot is they're all in a hotel, another hotel room, like, watching the camera feed from the head guy's office, and it is the most beautifully lit, perfect three shot you've ever seen. Like, it's perfect. It's like the three of them are so perfectly framed.
Yeah, it was like some James Wong Howe cinematography.
It's for real. Like, yes. And, like, you could see them all. You can hear exactly what they're saying. So crisp and clear. And so they watch them on this three shot, like, burn. You know, they're talking. They're like, hey, I got, you know, Brian comes in and he's like, yo, I got this deed. Pulls his ancient ass deed out of his pocket. He's like, check it out. And they're like, oh, we're fucked. And he's like, no, we're not. And then they just burn it. And they on camera, they're basically holding the burning deed up to the camera that they don't know is there.
That's like another cartoonish. Actually, that's more like, you know, Challenge of the Super Friends, sort of like, we're just going to burn the document in full sight.
Yes.
And while we all maniacally laugh while this thing is burning. It's like, if you really wanted to destroy evidence, like in the age of, like in modern times, you would just probably go to your paper shredder and just put it through the paper shredder. Yes. As opposed to burning
like it. Like ceremonially being like.
Yes. And then having people stand over it laughing.
Yes. 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 So they totally do that in full view of the cameras that are there. Okay. So the next scene is they all are at the hotel. Brian and the Suge Knight guy and everybody, they're having, like, the ceremony of the groundbreaking. Like, they're already like, yeah, we got your shit. Like, we're going to tear your shit down, build ours, deal with it. And they're having, like, the press come to the groundbreaking ceremony.
Right.
And that's when Screech walks up to Brian, hands him his camcorder, and is like, yo, dude, you might want to take a look at this. And
yeah, you
like,
burnt.
Yeah. Basically, and he like puts the viewfinder up to his face and is watching it, and then that's when they go, oh, you need sound too. Like, they hand him headphones. And I was like, he knows what is said because he said it. Like, he was there. He would look at the camera or look in there immediately and see the thing and go, oh shit, they taped us from yesterday. But they're like, no, you need to hear it. And it's like, yeah, I know what I said. I said, let's burn this deed.
So let me slip these headphones on.
So he puts headphones on, he's watching it. And he's watching how, yeah, they taped the whole thing. And he's like, oh, shit. And then they're like, yeah, go tell your boss what's up.
Yeah,
and
go, so go tell Suge.
Yeah. So he walks over to Suge Knight Worthington. And he's like, sir, I think you should watch this. And same thing. They're like, put on the headphones. It's like so cumbersome.
Oh, my God. That's so hilarious.
So he's looking into the camcorder. He puts on the headphones. And again, like, that dude's like, oh, shit. And then he goes over to the side because he's like, yo, can we talk now? There are so many things wrong with it. But first, if I'm the guy, if I'm the Suge Knight guy, I'd be like, first of all, fuck you. It doesn't matter. None of this will hold up in court because you illegally put a camera in my office.
Sure.
Like, you're already toast. Like, none of this counts. But instead, this corporate fat cat Suge Knight guy goes, hey, yeah, 17-year-old Zach, let me hear what you have to say. Let me hear what you have to say about business and corporate espionage and blackmail or whatever.
Correct.
So that, because that's the only two people who do any talking during this exchange are the Suge Knight guy and Zach.
Right. So Zach is making the demands.
Yes. He's fully making the demands. Like, the guy's like, okay, what do you want? How much is it going to cost to get rid of this tape? And Zach, 17-year-old ass Zach, is like, let me tell you what it's going to cost, corporate bigwig.
So you're going to do this.
Yes.
You're going to do this.
Yes. Like, just gives him the terms. Gives him a list of demands. And the guy's like, you got me, kid.
That's some fucking confidence.
You got me by the balls here, kid. Actual kid. Yeah.
Child who is sent in to negotiate with, you know, corporate executives.
Yes. Completely. So the guy's like, fine, I guess I'm fucked. And that's it. Like, go. He's already got like a ceremony going on with the press, and he has to go tell the press, like, just kidding, dudes. Like, this isn't going to happen now.
Yeah, the local news is like there filming, yeah. And they're like, well, I guess what just happened is a 17-year-old came up to us, made some demands, and now we got the ceremony's over. Sorry, guys.
17-year-old kid came up to us, told us what was what, and now we're going to cancel the building of hundreds of millions of dollars of a hotel that was going to happen. So sorry about it.
Yeah. If you'd like to know the details, we'll give you this camcorder. You're just going to have to put these headphones on and you can see what happened here.
Without the headphones, it's meaningless.
Yeah, it's meaningless if you don't have sound. Even also, though we were there, hey, I could tell you what I said.
Cool lawyer in Brian, by the way. Cool lawyer. I am not a lawyer. I have not gone to law school for 1 second. But I think a few viewings of, like, Law and Order and The Practice have told me that you can't legally put cameras in people's shit. And, like, yeah, the lawyer doesn't even point that out.
Right, because the funny thing is the next scene is, or the next thing you see in him is that he's literally just sitting, like, on the side.
Like, pouting.
And he's, like, his head is down, like, oh, I got burnt. Yes! By these children. Even though I'm a lawyer and I know that all of this is, like, total conjecture and it doesn't hold up in court.
Yes! Completely.
But I guess I'm just going to be depressed.
Yes. That is the next scene. Is he's like, yeah, he's just weirdly like leaning against a tree, like, wah, wah, like kicking a rock, like, boo. It's so weird. And they're like, okay. And then that's when Kelly comes up and fully punches his ass in the face.
Yes.
Which, again, if you're a lawyer, you'd be like, see you in court, bitch. He would just sue Kelly for punching him.
Yeah. She is definitely like guilty of assault.
Yeah. So she punches him in the face and then they all laugh. Now they all laugh and I'm sure the music that plays him off is like boom, ba doom, ba doom, mm-hmm. Or like the Charlie Brown music.
And then it turns back
something.
To Saved by the Bell shredding because the kids won.
Yeah. It immediately switches to Victorious shredding. Like how, like happy guitar shreds. Happy riffs, like we won the game riffs.
Yes.
So they go back and that's, you know, Kelly's granddad is like, this rules, I got my hotel back, everything's great. And he goes,
I knew if I told some high school kids about all of my problems that they'd be able to figure out a plan to solve my failing business in 2 weeks. I knew that if I said to them, listen, this is how my lifelong business, my 30-year business is in the shitter and I'm being shut out by an evil, greedy developer. I knew that if I told you that,
Kelly,
you'd be adult enough to comprehend it and come up with a solution.
Kelly, here's what I got to tell you, that the reason I invited you and your friends here on vacation, I had ulterior motives the entire time. I know I told you I invited you, Kelly, because you're my granddaughter and I love you. But secretly, it was because I knew about your friend's business savvy. And I knew that
that you and your friends sort of operated as like an Olivia Pope and Associates type of like, you know, I knew that you guys were 17 and have figured out, you know, how
you've already run a successful spaghetti sauce business. I heard about that. Even though I'm not on the mainland, word got out here about that. And I knew about that. I knew about buddy bands. Like, all of your successful business ventures, word has made its way to this Hawaiian island. And so I knew if anybody could save my business that's in the shitter, like you said, even though I've been running it for like 40 plus years, I knew that you and your teenage gang of business-minded friends.
I knew that you would also have all the wigs and the costumes,
yeah, of course,
that it took to do this.
Like, we all know you can't save a business without dressing up like a professor or a waiter.
Because I'll tell you right now, I have hired these types of organizations who didn't have their own costumes and wigs. And it is very unprofessional. You guys come already with the costumes and wigs.
Right.
So that saves me half the trouble.
Yeah. And it's like, you already know that you got to come with that. You already know how to get discounts at Kinko's for all the banners I need printed in the saving of said business. It's like no one is more equipped. No one is better than this group of 17-year-olds.
And we also know that you have hotel management experience.
Completely.
And that, again, saves me the trouble. It's like a one-stop shop.
Yes.
Like, you guys are a one-stop shop for everything that I would need
Completely.
To save my business.
So, honey, I know you're my granddaughter, but I hope that you're not upset that the whole time I was hoping you would do this. The whole time I was hoping you and your crew of other 17-year-olds would come in and fix my business. And you did. And now that's why I'm going to turn up the shredding. This Victoria shredding. So they go, so yeah, everybody's all great. In the end, he's like, my business is saved. This is great. And then he's like, guess what though, Andrea, Zach's girlfriend? I want you to be my manager. Mm-hmm. The tribe that's obsessed with Screech is now his entire staff.
They're going to drive all of his cars.
Yeah, exactly. A former cat, all of them, every single one of them were taxi drivers. And now he's like, y'all work at my hotel now.
Y'all are now indentured servants.
And you're also just going to make this stew 24 hours a day. The only thing I serve at my hotel is y'all's stew. That's the only thing on the room service menu. And
I'm poaching you of your indigenous cuisine.
Yes.
You're going to be my slaves.
Yep.
So sounds like a deal.
Sell your cabs because you work here now. And then he goes, guess what, white Andrea? You're going to manage all these people. And you're going to do it only if you let me pay you 5 times as much as you got paid at Suge Knight's hotel. Which I'm like, really? You ain't got no profits right now. How are you making that promise?
You were basically saved for 2 weeks.
Yes. And now you're like, girl, I'm going to give you a 6-figure salary?
Okay. We basically were saved for 2 weeks.
Yep.
So now we're going to hire an entire new staff.
Yep.
We're going to hire a person and pay them like 5 times the going rate.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to send her to night school.
Send her to night school. Babysit her daughter. We're going to get you daycare for your daughter.
Right.
Yeah, that's definitely all going to be profitable.
I think we all know why his fucking business is failing.
Yes, exactly. Like, he's already going to be, he's going to have to call in another crew of 17-year-olds eventually to save it again.
And there is no money.
His body can't cash. So, that's how that part ends. But then they cut to Zach and Andrea.
Yes.
And that's when they got to get real about what's going mm-hmm. on. And she's like, look, Zach, I also love you. We love each other. We definitely love each other. We met 5 minutes ago. We're in love.
Yes.
I get it. And he's like, listen, he's like, I'm going to be 18 soon. I will drop out of school. I can't even say this part. He's like, I'll drop out of school. I'll move here. I'll be a stepdad. Okay. I just can't look as an adult with adult dating experience of dating other adults. It's like, do you know how hard it is to get another grown adult man to commit to going on like a third date with you? And this fucking 17-year-old's ready to be like, I'm going to be a father to your kid.
It only took me walking into a woods and placing picnic items down to know that I want to be the father of your child.
Of your child.
Leave my life.
Yep.
In
leave
California.
High school. Come live with you forever and your kid. I'm ready to make that commitment. I'm 17. Like, oh my God.
And then the only thing that she has to say is like, listen, I don't want you to do what I did. And he's like, you're right.
Yeah.
After he had already come to this hardcore realization that he was ready to be a dad, it only took her saying, don't do that, for him to be like, you're right.
You're right. You're cool. That's cool. And then they basically, I mean, they're both like, oh my God, I don't know how I'll live without you. I'm so in love. It's amazing, whatever. And he's just like, I'll come back for you. You know, yeah, I'll get my shit together and then I'll come be your dude. And then that's the last note I have is fake R&B closing song. The closing song was atrocious.
Oh, it's awful.
Like, it was so terrible.
Again, if these songs are the reason why this DVD is $70, that is sad.
But also the fake closing song, it is fake R&B, and but yet again, it's like it's like, I'm gonna miss you. I'm leaving Hawaii. I wish I could be your stepdad. Like, it's so just super on the nose. Like,
but I guess you told me not to drop out of high school.
I'll stay
so I won't.
In school for your love. Like. Seriously, like that. All right, dude.
Oh my God, I can't
that's
believe
the
it.
First movie, the first feature-length Saved by the Bell film. We watched it. We jumped over many a hurdle to get this done in a hotel room.
I know it's so satisfying because seriously, how many times have we tried this and it didn't.
For you guys that have been getting on my case on Twitter, I will say that we did record this previously, like months ago in Atlanta, like 2 or 3 months ago, and we just lost the file.
Yeah. And so, it was actually a very screechy thing of us to have lost the file. Yes,
it was. It totally was. But now we got it done again for you guys. So that's the first movie. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope it was everything you dreamed of. I am working on lining up a guest for the next and final movie, which is Zach and Kelly getting married in Vegas. Mm. So I hope to do that soon. I've also gotten a lot of emails from people asking me to do the Lifetime movie, which I'm not sure I'm going to do because I feel like that doesn't really count because it's not like an actual Saved by the Bell thing. But I'll see. But for now, this is here now, and I will definitely do Zach and Kelly Get Married in Vegas. Just give me a few weeks. I'll get it done. Millie.
Yes.
Do you want to plug anything?
I don't. I guess not. I mean,
Your Twitter, anything? TCM? Anything coming up?
Yeah. What month is it? Oh, we have a new season of TCM Underground in October, late October. It starts the Saturday before Halloween.
What is TCM Underground?
TCM Underground is a late night cult movie / exploitation franchise on Turner Classic Movies. Check your local listings.
Boom. That you invented.
Yes.
Yes. All right. Millie programs that on Turner Classic Movies. Check it out. She's at Millie DeCherico. Are you at Millie DeCherico?
Yeah.
At Millie DeCherico on Twitter. I'm at APAPEY on Twitter. I am currently, this is going to drop, I think, next Tuesday. It's September. It's early. I'm still on tour for the rest of the year with Chris Hardwick. I'm opening for him. Please go to funcomfortabletour.com for all of his tour dates. He's the best. We have fun. Come see us. I don't know what else. Thank you to everybody who is psyched about hearing this and all the people that are emailing and tweeting me and people that are just now getting into the podcast. I know it's been over for a year, but just the other day somebody pointed out it was still in the iTunes charts, so that's amazing, and thank you. Also, I didn't plug him enough in previous episodes. David Hornbuckle edits the audio for this for me because I'm on the road a lot. I don't have time. Things about David. He is my ex-husband, funnily enough. He's rad. He runs a cassette label called Hornbuckle Records. Definitely check that out. It's at hornbucklerecords.com. I don't know what else to say. I'll close this out now. The next movie should be coming soon. Thanks, you guys. This has been Go Bazette.